I can say this very confidently, that no one knows what's going to be ahead of you for 2017. There's no infallible prophets in here. Nobody's sure what is around the next bend. But there's also something else that I know and I can say confidently, that if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He is going to be with you, walking with you through each and everything you may experience in 2017. No matter what it might be, no matter what the trial, the tribulation, He's going to be with you. Today we're going to be talking about walking into 2017. The Bible uses the main metaphor it uses for walking to our relationship with God is walking. Walking. And you think about walking, especially when there's affliction, walking can be difficult. But walking is done one step at a time. Slow, steady progress. When we walk, we're not trying to beat anybody. We're not in a race against anybody else. It's just the path that God has us on as we move forward in life. Now, as we walk, though, certain circumstances can impede us in our progress, in our walk. Laurie and I had the privilege to go to New York for a couple of days over the holidays. And we decided to walk down Fifth Avenue to see all the incredible store windows. And so we went from the Plaza Hotel, which is on 60th, we went down to 50th. At 50th is where Rockefeller Center is, where the big Christmas tree is. So we walked down Fifth Avenue, and it was a nightmare. You could hardly move. There were so many people in your way. And so you got to a window, and it was like, you know, you couldn't stay there too long because you got bumped and jostled. So we couldn't wait till we got to 50th Avenue. Let's get out of here. This is crazy. Because sometimes even when you're walking, strolling, circumstances, difficulties come your way. Listen what the Old Testament says about walking. A few verses here. Of course, probably the most known psalm of all, Psalm 23. David writes this in Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Of course, many of you know this from the King James Version. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The idea is, even though David says, I'm walking through deep darkness, I'm walking through terror, I'm walking through calamity, you're right there with me. Your rod and your staff, like a shepherd, keep away the wolves. So even David says, it's in the darkest as I can imagine it. Everything's kind of bleak. You're right there with me, David says. The prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Sometimes we get weary in life. We get fatigued. We want to quit. We want to give up. Isaiah says, don't quit. Don't quit. Keep taking the next step because I'm right there with you in the walk. Later, Isaiah writes in Isaiah 43, verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And then in verse 5, do not be afraid, for I am with you. God tells the nation, listen, I haven't forgotten you. I'm still going to be with you. And you think about fire. I mean, fire, is there anything more agonizing that you can imagine? Fire destroys. It's painful. Isaiah says, to the people as God's speaking to them, listen, I'm going to be even with you then. So the point is this. God is with us whether we're walking through darkness, through fire, through weariness. And the key element is this, knowing God personally. And as you know him personally, you know he's walking with you. That is the key to keep on walking, to not quit, to not give up, to not throw in the towel, to turn away. Now let's look at this. Let's kind of put some skin on these bones, so to speak, as we look at Daniel chapter 3, as we look at walking into 2017, and we'll see, get an idea what that's like. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar is the king over the Babylon Empire, and he sets up this 90-foot gold statue of himself. And he tells everyone, when you hear the instruments begin to play, everybody is to bow down and worship that statue. Verse 6. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. That makes it a little more difficult. What to do? When the music begins to play, do I bow down or stay standing up? If you stay standing up, literally, you're going to be in the fire, is what the text is telling us. So the band strikes up, the music begins, and everybody falls down except 3 Hebrew men. The Babylon officials see it. Now they go report back to the king what's going on. Verse 12. But there are some Jews whom you set over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you've set up. They refuse to accommodate what the king said. They refuse to compromise. Now why? Because they knew the one true God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These 3 Jewish men who were living in the land of Israel, when the Babylonians came, they took a number of people, including Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, and they brought them to Babylon. And now they're not following the script. So the king hears about this. He's full of rage. He summons these 3 men to come before him. Verse 14. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you did not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I've set up? Now, when you hear the sounds of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Well, it's amazing. They have another opportunity to get out of this jam that they're in. The king personally invites them. The natural thing would have been, you're right, king. We'll do it. We'll get back to what we want to do later, but we'll just do this for right now to save our hides. But that's where the rub comes in. That's where the difficulty comes in when there are consequences to you walking with God. Maybe there's social consequences. Maybe there's financial consequences. That if you're going to do the right thing before God, there's going to be consequences. And so these 3 men have an opportunity for a second chance to get out of this jam. Listen how they answer him. Verse 17. If we are thrown to the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, We want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Whoa. They made a decision. And their decision was they had confidence in God himself. And this is important. Because it wasn't confidence in a certain agenda that they thought God should work out for them. Some personal agenda. They said, we are going to walk with you. No agenda. Because this is the right thing to do. They don't make any conditions with God. They trust in him that he knows best what will happen to them. If they do the right thing, then it always works out for the best. We will serve him whether he conforms to our wisdom or if he does not. And that's what they say. We don't know if he will save us from death or through death. We know this God. He's got the power if he wants to perform a miracle to take us away from this, from death, or if he decides not to. If we die through this, so be it. Because he is the all-sovereign, all-wise God. We will depend on him for you, for either one that happens. Now, let me submit to you that they responded the way they did because they prepared for this very moment. Not necessarily that they knew that their life would be in jeopardy, but here's what I mean. Up to this point, if you go back to Daniel chapter 1, when they first go into captivity, they're brought before the officials, and Daniel and his friends say, listen, we believe in this God of Israel that we followed, and we're going to follow him, and one of the ways we follow him is there's certain dietary restrictions that we're going to follow. And they said, no, you need to eat the king's food. He said, we're not going to test us. And so they do, and they see that they're healthy, that they're strong, nothing's wrong with them. And so they say, okay, maybe you're right. And, of course, Daniel and his three friends get elevated up the chain because God is with them. He blesses them. And so as they come to this day today, they were prepared for this. Because what they had done every day up to this day was the same thing that they did every day. They walk with God. And so now this comes. What are we going to do? We're going to do what we do every day. We're going to do what God would have us do. We're going to do the right thing. We're going to trust him. No matter how difficult it is, we're not going to skimp here. We're not going to fudge there. We're going to walk with him and leave the results to him. So these servants of God didn't get the answer that they wanted immediately, but they kept trusting. They kept walking. And the Bible's full of that, right? Men and women who do what God wants them to do because it's what God said, they're obedient, it's the right thing, not because it's the most easiest thing. Abraham, Joseph, David, Paul, Jesus himself. It's not, I prayed and trusted God, but he never gave me what I want, what I thought, but I trusted God, period, and keep walking with him. That's their response. So, Nebuchadnezzar makes a decision. And see, at the heart of this decision for these three men is, what do we value the most? Even our lives. They said, no, we value our walk with God above all else. So Nebuchadnezzar heats the furnace up 7 times hotter. And it's so hot that the guards who are taking these three men down there, they get burned up before they even throw the three men into the fire. Pick it up in verse 23. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, Your Majesty. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods. All of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar sees, and it's not just a hallucination, there's somebody else in there. And what he says, He knew that this person had to be something supernatural. He said, it looks like a sons of the gods. Even Nebuchadnezzar was blown away by what he saw. That this was not a normal thing that takes place. And of course, who is this person? Well, I believe it's the incarnate Jesus Christ. You know, in the Old Testament, we see a term often called the angel of God. Not an angel, the angel of God. Genesis 16, Judges a bunch of places. Exodus chapter 3, when Moses sees the burning bush, and it says in the burning bush was the angel of God. And then the angel of God goes on and speaks as God himself. So the angel of God is the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ who speaks as God, identifies himself with God, claims to exercise the prerogative of God, yet is distinct from God. The Trinity, one God, the second person of the Trinity. And we no longer see the angel of God ever appear again after Jesus' birth. Angels appear, but not the angel of God. So this incredible thing happens. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar can't believe it. The three men come out of the furnace, and the text says there's not even a smell of smoke on them. Hey, I go in restaurants sometimes. I hate that. You come out and you smell like the restaurant. There's nothing. Verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's commands and were willing to give up their lives rather than save or worship any god except their own God. What a powerful testimony to Nebuchadnezzar of this one true God. The witness of his people that they were going to walk with him no matter what. In Daniel 3:15, Nebuchadnezzar said, what God will deliver you into my hands? Now Nebuchadnezzar knew a great deal about this God. He didn't take a theology class. He knew it because of the people of God, these three men. And he saw that these three men chose to walk with this God no matter what the circumstances. What kind of men are these? I'm not used to men like this. You put a man in a position that he's going to die, that's usually enough. But we see this down throughout the history of God's people walking with him. Martyrdom has been part of it, the early church. Matter of fact, a famous statement is the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Even right now as we speak, there's brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted in other parts of the country because of their walk with Christ. So, what's this mean about walking into 2017? Two things. Here's the first thing. You must know that this walk is a faith walk. Know it is a faith walk. 2 Corinthians 5:7, Paul writes, for we live by faith, not by sight. Boy, that's always a tough one, huh? I mean, if you just give me a little vision, you know, speak something in my ear, show me something, 5-year plan, even the 1-year plan will be good enough. Man, you don't get that. And that's where the rub comes in. Because as the text says, it's by faith. And what is faith? Faith is trusting what you can't always see. Faith is trusting because God said it. And what did God say? He's going to be with you. So I'm not sure what 2017 is going to bring. I'm not sure what kind of difficulties it might come. Nobody does. But we walk by faith, not by sight. We see this throughout the scripture. A man named Enoch in Genesis chapter 5, he walked with God 365 years. And I love this, Genesis 5:24. Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more because God took him away. You know, there's been two men in the Bible, Enoch and then the prophet Elijah, that they didn't die. They just went straight up into heaven. So Enoch's just walking along one day as he did every day for 365 years, and he just kept walking right into eternity, right into the kingdom. Wow. Hopefully that'll happen to us, right? Right? We all hope we get raptured, right? We don't have to take steps. That's in God's hands. Elijah was the same. God took him in a chariot of fire. But 365 days, Enoch walked with God. How about Noah? Noah lived to be 959 years. Genesis 6:9. Noah, he walked faithfully with God 959 years, day in, day out. You don't think he saw trouble in his life? You don't think he had affliction, difficulty, problems? 959 years. I bet he had some stories to tell. Abraham, he lived to be 175. When he was 140, in Genesis 24:40, he says this, "The Lord before whom I have walked faithfully." 140 years, the Lord's been with him the whole time. He had 35 more to go. He didn't know that. He thought he was going to die real soon. Now listen, I don't know about you, but I don't want to live to be 175, okay? But that's in the Lord's hand. But however many years it is, we won't live as long as these men did. But here's what we have in common. We can choose to walk faithfully with the Lord however many years were granted. 175, 365, 959? I don't think so. 70, maybe 100, maybe more. We can choose to walk faithfully with the Lord because, listen again, walk is a slow, steady progress. Walk is one step at a time, day by day again, not a race, not a competition. You are not in a competition with anybody else in this church or anybody else in the kingdom of God. Your walk is with the Lord, period. I'm not trying to beat you. You're not trying to beat me. Everybody's at a different stage. The key is, are you walking? So we're all in this walk. So how do you make progress in this walk? Well, you do it just like walking, like physical walking. It's daily. It's day in, day out by faith. It's slow but steady, step by step. It's daily prayer. It's daily Bible reading. It's corporate worship. It's fellowship with other believers. Listen, folks. Those are the only way I know that people grow in their faith. There is, put this down, underline it, exclamation points after. There is no shortcut to maturity. Oh, no, there are no shortcuts to maturity. There are no shortcuts to maturity. Exclamation, double exclamation point. It's day in, day out, walking with the Lord. And of course, in that day in and day out, there's suffering, that there's difficulty, there's affliction in the midst of it, because those things test your faith to keep you more dependent upon the Lord by faith when you don't know the outcome, when you have no other place to go. That you cry out to him. And like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said in verse 18, even if he does not deliver us, we will serve him. Even if it's not the outcome that you want, are you still going to serve him? Is he still worthy? Now, one of the things about this walk is sometimes you don't feel like it, right? I get that. We all get there. I don't feel like going to church this morning. I don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't feel like, well, you know, going to whatever. We all get that way. That's why I think we need other people. Lori and I, we like to walk. A few times a week, we walk. But a lot of times, you know, she'll come home, I'll come home. You want to walk today? I don't know. I don't really feel like it. Yeah, me neither. Let's blow it off. We do that sometimes. But sometimes, nah, one of the others will say, nah, I think we need to do it. Okay. You know, but then you're always glad you do it. Same, too, I think, in the spiritual walk. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like going to Bible study. I don't feel like talking to this person. I don't feel like talking to that person. I don't even feel like reading my Bible. I understand that. But even when you don't feel like it, that's when it's the most important time. Because it's not about feelings. It's about faith, right? So you begin to develop this faith walk habit. And I think that's why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when that day came, they were in a habit. Oh, we're not going to do it, King. We walk with the Lord every single day. We've seen his faithfulness in our life for many years. You think we're going to turn our back on him now? No way. If he delivers us, great. If he doesn't, we'll be with him in heaven, in the kingdom. So the first thing is you got to know it is a faith walk, that there's no way around that. But here's the second thing. Know Jesus is right with you. Know Jesus is right with you in this walk, Hebrews 13:5. For he himself has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. You see, the gospel is that Jesus Christ came down and became a man and took the sin of the world, the punishment of the sin of the world upon himself. Willingly, voluntarily, he went through the deepest darkness, the deepest loneliness, the hottest furnace anybody can ever go through or will even be close to. Jesus did that when he went to the cross. Hottest furnace ever. And so, if you're saved, if you're trusted in Christ, you will never face a hot furnace that you could face. Because you'll never face God's judgment. Because your sins were judged at the cross when you trusted Christ. And now there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. They'll never be judged. You'll never have to worry about that hot furnace. The worst thing that could happen to you can't happen to you because Jesus paid for your sins. And I would probably think that the greatest furnace that we all face is the idea of death. Jesus has taken that furnace upon himself. Now, because of that, I can now walk through the small furnaces in my life. And listen, for you, whatever furnace that is, it's blazing. But for God, it's like, I know your furnace. I'm right there with you. I can't always feel it. You can't see it. You can't touch it. You can't taste it. But the scripture is so clear. Jesus will never leave you. Jesus is right there with you. So every day, 2017, look to Jesus, who he is and what he's done for you. Well, can you really be sure? I mean, can you really be sure? Well, if we believe the scripture, and I know I do, and I think you do too. Hebrews 4:15 and 16 says this, for we do not have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. He's been right there in the furnace. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So, when you feel all alone, when you feel the darkness all around you, when you feel like you're walking through the shadow of death, when you're weary, when you're suffering, when the fire's hot, Jesus has been there, and he's with you right there in the midst of it. Amen. And in those times, as you walk step by step, You must read your Bible. You must pray to him, seek him, cry out to him. You must attend worship. You must fellowship. Even when you feel so dry, even when you don't want to, even when it's so hard, because just like walking, as you continue to walk, slowly the darkness will begin to dissipate. How long? I don't know. But he does. And he's right there with you. And he's going to encourage you step by step, day by day, day in, day out. We walk into 2017. Just like God was with those three Hebrew men in the furnace, Jesus is right there with you also. Let's pray.